Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about two articles written by the same author, Dr. Mark Sherman. Yeah. And he's from University of New York.
At New Paltz.
And he wrote two articles that are published in Psychology Today. One is called The Young American Male, A Shameful Chronology of Neglect. And the other is Will We Ever Notice Boys' Struggles? One is from September of 2016. One's from just last week, August of 2017.
Which one was last week, the chronology?
Last week was the chronology of neglect, right?
If Mark, I'd like to invite him to come on the program. I'd like to have him and Zimbardo. I'd like to interview both of them.
That would be good.
Yeah, I'd really like to talk to these guys in more detail, at length. So, Mark, if you ever hear this or if you're listening, I'd love to have you on the show, okay?
I'll send him an email.
Yeah, he's old, like me. That's another reason I like him, right?
Well, hopefully he doesn't
He's
listen,
retired.
Because if he listens and he hears that, he'd be like,
no, but what I like about Mark is that he is the father of boys, and now he's a grandfather of boys. And so he has not only a professional interest in this topic, but he also has a personal interest in the topic.
Right.
And I'm stuck on Zimbardo's thing about, how are my kids going to be?
Yeah.
Your girls will probably be okay. Not sure about the boys yet.
Right.
And echoes that same sentiment.
Right.
Is that maybe we're not doing such a good job with our boys.
Right.
And we need to think a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
In the first article about will we notice our boys' struggles, he goes through all those same data points as the others about incarceration rates and graduate, you know, whether it's the positives of women doing much better than girls doing much better than boys, or the negatives of incarceration rates and suicide and shootings. He said, regardless of all those data, we don't have anything comparable. And he cites this White House council. He said, during the early years of the Obama administration, we had a White House council on girls and women. And he said, we haven't had anything similar to that for boys.
Right.
So despite this disparity between boys and girls, we're not addressing the problem with boys as we did with girls, despite the fact that all the data suggests that girls are improving at a much faster rate than boys and that boys are being left behind. We're not addressing it as a culture, as a society.
And I think that it goes back to what we said a few days ago, and that is, you know, we have traditionally just assumed that boys were going to be okay.
So
we don't need any of these additional supports and help, because they have traditionally been okay. They're going to be just fine. Everything is still sort of in place for them, and they should just do fine. And we are now seeing that that's not the case.
I teach every semester. I talk about white privilege. You know, in our classes, we talk about the achievement gap you know, between children of color and children of white Caucasian children. And we talk about white privilege. And I'm talking about it, I'm thinking, well, white men have all these advantages that minorities and women don't have. And yet the data don't show that.
Right.
And so this week, because of this reading, as I teach my classes now, I'm going to talk about, although we have this opinion, the data suggests something very different.
Right.
And I want my students to be aware of these.
Right. And I do want us to sort of acknowledge that we're not of the camp that says that, you know, white males are being discriminated against.
No.
We're not sort of on that side of the fence of those who were protesting and stuff in Charlottesville and all of that, that says, you know, hey, we're being neglected, our rights are being taken away, we're being discriminated against. We are certainly not saying any of that. What we're saying is that as it relates to some of the systems that we have put in place to help, you know, help bring everybody up to a level playing ground, We have maintained an assumption that some of the successes and strengths of some groups are going to maintain while we're building up the others, and the evidence just really hasn't supported that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we are not saying that men are being discriminated against.
Right.
Because clearly they're not.
Right.
This is not... And I think Zimbardo's take is correct. He's talking about it's empathy. He said, we're not looking at things. Mm-hmm. We are not looking at things from their perspective.
Right.
And that may be the larger problem. We have nothing against women succeeding.
Right, no.
But in the process, I think we have to ask the question, when you look at the data, when you look at what's happening, whether it's positive or negative,
right.
When you look at the data, you have to ask, what's going on here, right. And what should we do about it?
Yeah.
We're not talking about discrimination. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, if anything, an air of omission,
right.
Not an air of commission.
Right, because we talked before about the idea of a zero-sum game.
That's right.
Right? And mm-hmm. I think that, well, I will say for myself, and I think that you mm-hmm. are on the same page, it's not a zero-sum game. Mm-hmm. If we've learned anything over the past 30 years with the huge explosion in technology and things like mm-hmm. that, what we have learned is... The pie is just going to keep getting bigger.
Right.
There's more and more of the pie.
Right.
Because we have seen innovation mm-hmm. over the past 20 to 30 years that we would have never even imagined,
right.
mm-hmm. 40 years ago.
Right.
So to say that there's only so much to go around, I just don't think is realistic. That's not... No. That's an argument that people use to identify ways to, claim discrimination and to claim, maltreatment and that.
We've seen it used. There are only so many jobs, and if you give the jobs to this group, then you're taking them away from
right.
this group. And we know that's not true.
Right.
And it makes
right.
good political fodder, but...
Yeah, it supports the idea of being angry about something.
Right, exactly.
So again, I just wanted to mention that we're certainly not... saying that. What we're saying is that, we've talked about, you've used the phrase, throwing the baby out with the bathwater mm-hmm. and those kinds mm-hmm. of things. What we're doing is we are failing to recognize some of the needs of one group for the sake of, mm-hmm. really helping and support another group.
Right.
And the question is, should we be doing support for both groups? Not take away support for mm-hmm. for anyone, but providing support for both groups.
Right, right. There's a book, he mentioned another book here called The War Against Boys,
mm-hmm.
written by a woman mm-hmm. who works for the American Enterprise Institute, mm-hmm. which is a very right-leaning, mm-hmm. And one of the things that Dr. Sherman does is he, in almost a tongue-in-cheek way, he says, maybe this should be a new cause for liberals. Mm-hmm. he self-identifies as a political liberal.
Right.
Unabashedly, not ashamed of it. And he says, yes, I'm a liberal. But conservatives are talking about, he's saying political mm-hmm. conservatives are talking about this issue.
Yeah.
Now they might be overstating it. Like this is what you were just talking about. There's not a war against boys. I don't mm-hmm. think that's the problem.
Right.
I don't think anybody is saying we are consciously discriminating
right.
against them. But the effect is still the
yeah.
effect of what's happening.
Yeah.
It can't be argued
right.
That something is happening in here. And what Sherman is doing, he's saying maybe we should take up this cause not as a discrimination issue,
mm-hmm.
but as an air of omission.
Right.
That we're missing something here. Mm-hmm. And it's having disastrous consequences
yeah.
on boys.
Absolutely.
And he's talking as a grandfather and a father.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's a huge point that we have here.
Right. Because you don't want it to become a discrimination issue. They're not. And I mentioned right. earlier that my own children who are in college will talk about affirmative action.
Right.
That whether they're for or against because they're discussing it in mm. their college classes. So it's not a discrimination issue,
right?
But I'm beginning to understand this from a very different perspective than
right.
I ever had before.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So.
So that's the first article.
Yeah.
And then the second one he calls a shameful chronology of neglect.
Right.
And he goes back to 19.
And he talks about the first article that we talked about
right.
today
mm-hmm.
in this week that Glenn Gehrer's experience
right.
of you know, kind of getting some backlash after talking about some of the statistics and everything that he's seeing at his university.
Right, right. And he did. Yeah. He's taken a lot of heat for the things that they're writing. Yeah. And it's because we're sort of talking past each other on these issues. But he goes back to 1994, and he said, even then, so that's what, 15, 16 years?
1994? Wouldn't it be 23 years?
23 years. Yeah. Right.
23 years ago.
It's that long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been here 17 years.
You're old.
I used to be old.
Oh, wait.
I used to be.
I don't know why that just seemed like it needed to be to fill that space there.
Later
1994.
On.
23 years ago.
I know. So that's been going on. And it precedes that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's saying that even though boys were lagging then, even though the data suggested that boys were lagging then, there was a conference at his university, and it was about how schools are cheating girls. That was the title of the that was the title of the book that they wrote.
Yeah.
But the keynote speakers were talking about their best-selling book, which is How Schools
Failing at Fairness, How America's Schools Cheat Girls.
Girls, right. Mm-hmm. And this was, even though all the data suggested otherwise.
Right.
And when Dr. Sherman rose to ask a question, he was roundly criticized by the authors.
Right.
And he was sort of a voice in the wilderness back then. Okay. So these guys have been working on this for a quarter century.
Right.
You know. And we're still not making much progress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that experience in reading that, to me, really highlighted, I think, what kept me relatively ignorant as it relates to this whole area. Mm-hmm. And that is, it is, I don't know if taboo is the right word, or if it's just, most of us are very hesitant to talk about some of these difficulties with males, males in general. Because, again, we know and we have learned and can see some of that inequality across groups. And I think that these facts make some of the other inequalities even more problematic. We know when we talk about, you know, men earning so much more than women in the workplace, yet women outnumber men as far as graduate degrees and college admissions and success in different areas, you know, it makes that gap even more surprising and unacceptable. But because of that, I think we tend to resist the tendency to really talk about and get into that realm of, you know, though there are these, you referred to them as outliers before, though there are these outliers of men who, you know, are at the top of everything,
right?
You know, these billionaires, and, you know, for whatever reason, we label success as it relates to bank account. But we identify these males as being, and then kind of go into the idea of, so men are just fine.
Right.
We really resist the urge to say, you know what? Men are not all right. A lot of men are struggling, and it's because we are working in a system that's not, that's making it a little bit difficult. Men in general, not just
you white triggered men. Another when you said that. The men who are billionaires, who are CEOs, are of another generation.
Right.
We're not talking about the men who have succeeded who are now in their 40s and 50s and 60s.
Right.
We're talking about boys who are coming up.
Right.
They're the ones who have been struggling. It's not those guys grew up in a male-dominated society.
Exactly.
And so to talk about, and we're not talking about income disparity. Yes, we still have income disparity, but that's going to even out.
Yeah.
I mean, that is in the process of evening out.
Right.
That's not the issue right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it's
because every other metric.
Yeah.
Is sobering when it comes to men and boys who are growing up now from preschoolers to men in their 20s.
So it does deserve more discussion, and we have to encourage and allow that discussion to happen without criticism that we're being insensitive, right, or being whatever. Right. There's lots of different adjectives that can be used there, but
So he begins in 1994, and he goes through this chronology. 94 was the first time he addressed this issue. 96, he said in 1996, there was a great discussion about having all girls schools. Mm-hmm. And again, the ones who were doing better now are going to be given this extra, offered these other advantages as though they're the ones who are struggling.
Right.
In 1996, the boys were already falling behind.
Right.
Okay. But we continued to address girls.
Yeah.
1999, there was another women's studies conference,
right,
you know, at his university. And when he got up to speak, it was, and I can imagine this happening, when you get up in a group like that and you say something, you either get stunned silence or applause. You know, if you say what the crowd is, now this is a crowd about, was there for women's studies. So obviously they had an interest in women's studies. And when he got up and mentioned the data about men, there was silence in the room.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody responded. But he said, we're making progress because at least I wasn't criticized as I was 5 years earlier by those authors.
2010.
By 2010, he's saying, maybe this ought to be a cause for liberals. Maybe liberals need to, you know,
he wrote an article in Psychology Today called, you know, Boys and Young Men, a New Cause for Liberals. You know?
Right. And
then this year.
And then this year,
he talked about Gare and Zimbardo and a lot of these guys who have already been, who've been talking about the same stuff.
Right. And he's saying that it just isn't politically correct. He said the problem is we still, as much progress as we're making, or we're beginning to make progress, but it's still not politically correct to advocate for white males because the assumption is that white males are and will do just fine, that we have to help girls succeed.
Yeah.
So fascinating look at this whole issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in the very least, I think what we've learned so far is that more discussion needs to happen.
Right.
Civilized discussion, not discussion from the perspective of discrimination or overt intent to leave one group out over another group or anything like that. We need to have a civilized adult conversation about where we are.
Yeah, we really do, because this, I mean, you and I sort of keep up on these sorts of things, and I was left completely behind on this issue.
Right.
And so it does deserve a very thoughtful discussion. Because if the trend doesn't stop, I mean, what's going to happen in 10 years to these kids, to these boys? Cause for concern.
Yeah. I think it's just frustrating to me that we create systems that don't address, that don't have provisions in them to address everyone's needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's minority groups,
that would be nice.
Males, females, whatever the case may be, why is it that we create these systems for one specific group? And I get it for particular issues. I get that. But at the same time, when we create entire systems for one, it just blows my mind. So,
you know, you've heard me, I was going to say wax philosophic, but it's really complain about the two-tiered school system that we're creating. And I keep thinking, why don't we create enough good schools?
Right. You
know, rather than having lotteries to go to the best schools, why can't all schools be good? And they can be.
Right.
But that's political will. It's not... We know how to teach.
Yeah.
We know how to do school.
Yeah, exactly.
We just don't have enough good schools, so we have to have a lottery.
Yeah. That's,
you know, why don't we create a system everybody benefits? Healthcare, same thing. You know.
Yeah.
So... Okay, we'll stop.
Okay.
I'll stop.
All right, so that's it for today. We have one more for this week.
One more interesting. Hang on for that, because we're going to take a sharp turn on the next one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.